Well, welcome back, everybody. It's the 8th of January, week 2 in our new year, and some have been travellers. Welcome back to those of you who have been travelling up the coast and whatnot. Some of you have been holiday makers. Welcome back, those who are holiday makers. And there's those of us who just plodded on here, kept on working at the coalface during the course of the break. It's also really great to welcome a number of newcomers with us this morning. If you're new to us this morning, a special welcome to you. We move out to morning tea straight after service together, and you'll be very welcome to join us there. Also, you need to know toilets are out that door. It's the toilets for the council library. That's where facilities are over there. Now, folks, Luke's Gospel has just been introduced to us a little bit by Ben about where we are in context. And last week we found that Luke's introduction of the good news about the Messiah, whose name is Jesus, is being given to Dr. Luke's associate, whose name is Theophilus. And in the first session of this little mini-series on Jesus' arrival concerning Jesus coming to earth, we looked last week at the topic setting the stage. And we found that Dr. Luke set the stage for the arrival of the Messiah and started describing some of the historical things that were going on, particularly in relation to Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. Now, God's Saviour of the world arrived on that first Christmas in a very planned and an orderly manner. Luke could see that, and Luke wanted to record that for us. And he recorded this information accurately and in an orderly account. And that orderly account has been preserved for all ages in the Gospel of Luke, which you and I have now got freely available in the New Testament in our Bibles. Isn't that marvellous that we have got that accurate word and we can know with surety what was going on in those days, and that God had Dr. Luke in place to record these things accurately and in an orderly account. Now, if you've got your Dr. Luke's gospel in front of you, it will be handy to have it open, because today we're going to look at what was read for us in chapter 1, verses 26 through to verse 55. And the second study in our mini-series about Jesus arriving, I'm going to title Introducing Mary. So that's what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about introducing Mary. And we find Mary sandwiched in between the account of John the Baptist's prediction and his birth. So we looked at the prediction of John the Baptist coming, which the angel Gabriel brought to Zechariah and Elizabeth. And then next week we'll be looking at the birth of John the Baptist. But in between those two, Luke records for us the introduction to Mary of Nazareth. And we find that the angel comes back, same angel, for the second run. And this is the angel Gabriel. He's already appeared to Zechariah in the holy place in the temple. And now we find that Gabriel is at work again and turns up to Mary. Now, for Mary, she is going to spend 3 months with Zechariah and Elizabeth in the hill country down south in Judea. Her hometown is Nazareth, up north in Galilee, and she whizzes down and we'll find out that she spends 3 months with Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now, within this passage today, there's three broad movements, and if you have got them in mind, you'll be able to see them clearly in your Bible as you follow through. And if we pick it up properly, it'll probably help you to understand this well next time you're reading through Luke yourself. And three movements. Firstly, there's three movements about Mary. Firstly, it's Mary with Gabriel. Secondly, it's Mary with Elizabeth. And thirdly, it's Mary with God. So they're the three broad brushstrokes that we're looking at today. Mary's encounter with Gabriel, with Elizabeth, and with God himself. So we go straight to the text, picking up at verse 26 in chapter 1. In the sixth month, that's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth a town in Galilee. So we're going to look generally now at this first section from verse 26 through to verse 27. And as we just said, Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant, and Gabriel has appeared this time to Mary in Nazareth, and Luke records that Mary was greatly troubled and wondered what was going on. Well, we found out that was exactly the same with Zechariah in the holy place in the temple, and with just about anyone who is encountered with an angel. A human being becomes quite troubled when they're encountered with an angel. I've never met an angel and known about it yet, and so I haven't been troubled like that. But people who do meet angels, especially in the biblical accounts, seem to always be troubled, and their knees knock and they wonder what's going on. So as we look at this section from 26 to 37, the first part, we're going to see that there's 4 points to note about Mary from Gabriel's address, and there's 2 points to note about Jesus from Gabriel's address. So let's have a look at Mary first of all. The points that we can come to understand from Luke's text about Mary. Well, firstly, we find out that Mary is a young woman who is highly favoured and has actually been chosen by God. Gabriel says exactly that you are highly favoured, and it's clear that God has chosen this young woman for his work. Gabriel says, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. So, second point is that we find out that Mary is a virgin. Now, there's some theologians who like to talk about little tiny detaily things and try and make up a new idea that no one's ever come across before. And so this account about whether Mary was a real virgin, or does the word virgin simply mean young woman? Because if we look back here at how the words, and they can talk all about it, but Luke makes it absolutely clear, she is a virgin because she states it herself, and the angel Gabriel accepts what she states and doesn't argue with that. So we know that Mary is highly favoured, we know she's a virgin. Thirdly, this virgin is going to become pregnant. Whoa, what did you say? A virgin is going to become pregnant. And her child, says Gabriel, he already knows it's going to be a son. You don't need to wait for the ultrasound result at week 14 or whatever it is. Gabriel says it's going to be a son. And not only that, Gabriel says, I'll tell you what his name's going to be. His name is going to be Jesus. This is what he tells Mary. It's no wonder she was troubled and wondered what this was all about. Anyway, the fourth point that we find out to note from Gabriel's address is about Mary's actual character. This girl is a brave combination. She's got intelligent awareness about what's going on around her. Smart girl. She sees what's going on. She's a bit confused, but she's aware, and she doesn't get fuzzled by it. And she's got a willingness to listen. She's got an ability to digest this new information that's rapidly coming into her. Plus, and this is a beauty, she's got a submissive and a well-grounded faith. Hey, fellas, wouldn't you love to meet a girl who had intelligent awareness, who was willing to listen to you, who had the ability to digest your complex nature and information, and had a submissive, well-grounded faith in God? Don't you reckon our young men over at Wilton would be looking for a girl like that to be able to marry, that that's the sort of girl that they could honour and that they could treat in a godly manner and remain faithful to for a lifetime? That's the sort of girl that a fella's looking for. Well, there are the 4 points to note about Mary from Gabriel's address. There's 2 points to note about Jesus from Gabriel's address. The first point is that this Jesus has a destiny, and he's destined to be a king. Not only just a king, look at verse 32. He will be great. He's going to be a great king and will be called the Son of the Most High. His throne, says Gabriel, is going to follow from the line of King David himself. So Jesus' kingship comes from the kingly line of the house of Judah. And his kingship and his kingdom will never end. It's going to be an eternal reign. This Jesus, says Gabriel, is in fact the son, not of Joseph, but he's the son of the Most High. He is the son of God himself, verse 32. And he's going to be called the Son of God, verse 35. His title will be Son of God. Not son of Joseph, but son of God. Which brings us to verse 38. And this is magnificent. It's Mary's response. So she's taken this in. She's heard the word of God. She's digested the information. And it says that after hearing the angel's message, this is what Mary says. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you, Gabriel, have said. Now, brothers and sisters, I think this is one of the great biblical statements of faith. You want to know what it is to have faith in God? Follow Mary's faithful position. To have faith in God, you are able to say to God with whatever he has given to you as your lot, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as the Lord has said. It's having a dependence on God's faithful word. Well, we now come on to our next section from verse 39 down to 45. So that first part showed us Mary with her encounter with Gabriel. Now we go to Mary with her encounter with Elizabeth. And Mary flies down to Judea from the north, so she goes down in haste, to see Elizabeth, who is her relative. And we read here Luke's record of Elizabeth's prophetic statements about Mary. And Elizabeth has two things to say to Mary. She says to Mary, Blessed are you, Mary, among women. You, Mary, have got a special blessing amongst all women because of her belief that what the Lord said was going to be accomplished. That's why she was going to be blessed, was because she believed that what the Lord said would be accomplished. And Elizabeth says, and also, blessed is the child that you will bear. I don't know if Elizabeth even knew that Mary was going to be pregnant yet. But already, as a prophetess, she's saying, blessed is this child that isn't here yet, but it's the child that you're going to bear because Mary's child, Jesus, is going to be the Lord. And you know what Elizabeth says about Jesus? She says he's not only going to be the Lord, she says he's going to be my Lord. That's Elizabeth's testimony. The mother of my Lord. How are you? Blessed are you, my cousin, or whatever relationship you had with Mary, because you are going to be the mother of my Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Which takes us to the third and final section, verse 46 to 55, which is Mary's response to this. And you can see it in your Bible. It's probably written in a poetic form there in verse. It's got poem sort of writing in there instead of just text writing. And this is what Mary said, the Mary's song. And it's a marvellous song. We sing it ourselves sometimes, called the Song of Mary. It's in the prayer book. And it's a song of glory to God. Look at what Mary puts into it. Her first statement is, My soul glorifies the Lord. I wonder if that's what our soul tends to do when we have an encounter with God's word, the living God, an experience with God. My soul glorifies the Lord. Wouldn't it be great if we woke up each morning ready for our quiet time and that was our first word? My soul glorifies the Lord. Sometimes you might be using the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. Similar sort of thing. A great song to have on our lips as we come before God. And we find that within this song, Mary is rejoicing in what God has done for his people in the past, and she's also rejoicing in what God is going to do in her right now. She is a woman of faith. She knows that God is going to act in her own life, and she knows what God has done in Israel in the past. And so this overflows then in a song of praise, and it's a praise to God's attributes. And look at the sorts of things that Mary understands about the Lord God Almighty from her song of praise. This is the mighty one who is overshadowing her. She praises God's holiness. She praises God's mercy. She recognizes God's mighty deeds. She understands that God is the ruler. She praises God's attribute of his provision for his world and his people. She praises his help that he's given to Israel. And she praises God's ongoing faithfulness. All of those things are in that song. You can read it for yourself. But sometimes we need to draw back and take a significant period of meditating time to let these things that are in the Word of God soak into us and to be able to see the depths of the things that people like Mary in this circumstance were able to see, the nature of God. No wonder she erupts in a song of praise. And we finished our Bible reading at verse 55, which was the end of Mary's song. And verse 56, I think it goes over into next week, and I think we'll probably be opening that next week there. But verse 56 is like a bit of a postscript. She returns to Nazareth in Galilee, heads north again back home after 3 months, just before Elizabeth is about to give birth to John the Baptist. So what have we got here? In summary, it's not hard. We find that Luke describes three encounters for Mary with the angel, with Elizabeth, and with God. And, note this, there is nothing in this text at all that suggests that Mary is sinless. There's nothing in this text that suggests that she is able to intercede to God on behalf of other people. There's nothing here that suggests that she can bring your prayers to God or that you need her to bring your prayers to God. There's nothing in this text about that. And there's certainly nothing in this text from Luke that suggests that Mary should be a person of worship. There's only one that we worship. That's our Lord, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Him you worship. But there's nothing, there's some doctrines that say that we need to worship Mary. Well, it doesn't come out of the Bible. This Bible passage clearly shows that the mother of Jesus was a godly, thoughtful, intelligent, a gentle and a discerning young woman who was specially favoured by God. There's no doubt about that at all. And she was specially chosen by God, elected by God, if you want to say, to be God's special vessel for the incarnation of the Godhead into humanity. That's huge. But let's not go getting Mary confused with other things that some people may tell you from time to time. Well, that's our passage for today, but what do we do with it? As soon as Mary was convinced of the facts, she made herself available to God. That's what we need to note, I think, today. That as soon as Mary understood what was really going on, the first thing she did was make herself available to the God who was speaking to her. Are we available to God in this same way? That's where the rubber meets the road. Are you going to be like Mary, available to God in the same way? Well, what does availability look like, you might ask me? What does it mean for me to be available? I can read what it was for Mary, but what about me? What does it look like? Well, when Mary was confronted with the Word of God through God's messenger, she processed that word intelligently. She discerned the truth of it, and then she committed to be an active player in God's arena. And that's what it looks like to be available to God. When you're confronted with the Word of God, and you have to read it to do that. So if you're not reading your Bible yet, the first thing you need to do if you want to be like Mary is start reading your Bible and listening to the Word of God. And then you process that word intelligently and you discern the truth of what God is saying. And once you've understood that, like Mary, you commit and become an active player in God's plan. She became an active player for God's plan in her life. She was willing to bear the child. And she was willing to become an active player in her world, to be the conduit through whom God, the Son, would actually come into human form and be born as a baby boy. So, folks, when God speaks to you, will you respond with a similar statement of active faith? I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. I wonder if you might like to bow your head and pray with me meditatively about exactly these things. Lord God, we praise you for our sister in Christ, Mary, the mother of Jesus. We praise you for her faithfulness and for her trust in God. And Lord, we praise you for supernaturally bringing the Saviour into the world through Mary. May we respond to God's words exactly the same way that Mary did, with a submissive, an active, and a faithful demeanour, because we pray that you will give us the gift of being able to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.